Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Exposure Poisoned Water, Corporate Greed, and One Lawyer's 20-Year Battle Against DuPont, is a 2019 memoir by environmental attorney Robert Ballot. The book recounts how a routine request from a West Virginia farmer led Ballot into a decades-long legal fight over DuPont's use of PFOA, a persistent chemical tied to the broader class of PFAS, often called forever chemicals. It is both a legal narrative and an account of environmental investigation, showing how scientific uncertainty, corporate secrecy, and regulatory delay can combine to hide serious public health risks. Rather than presenting a simple courtroom victory story, the memoir traces how evidence was gathered over many years, how internal documents changed the case, and how one local complaint expanded into a matter of national and global concern. The book is written for readers interested in environmental law, corporate accountability, toxic exposure, and the real-world limits of regulation when contamination is widespread and difficult to prove. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a single farm complaint becomes a case about systemic contamination. The memoir begins with a local grievance: a West Virginia farmer believed runoff from a DuPont landfill was harming his land, creek, and cattle. That seemingly narrow dispute becomes the entry point for a much larger problem. Ballot's investigation reveals that the issue was not only one site or one victim, but a long-running pattern of chemical disposal and environmental exposure. This escalation is central to the book's logic. It shows how environmental harm often appears first as a local anomaly and only later reveals itself as part of a wider industrial system. The narrative is effective because it moves from concrete, visible damage on a farm to the less visible but far more consequential problem of chemical persistence in water, soil, and bodies. The case therefore functions as a model for how environmental litigation can expose hidden public risks that ordinary citizens are not equipped to identify on their own. Secondly, DuPont documents and internal science expose the problem of corporate secrecy. A major strength of the memoir is its emphasis on evidence gathering. Ballot's breakthrough comes not from a dramatic confession or a single decisive test, but from persistent legal work that secures access to large quantities of internal DuPont material. These records show that the company had long been aware of risks associated with PFOA. The book uses this documentary trail to demonstrate how knowledge can exist inside a corporation for years before it becomes public. That matters because environmental debates often turn on uncertainty. Yet exposure shows that uncertainty can be manufactured or maintained when companies control information. The memoir also illustrates how technical and scientific data can become legally meaningful only when translated through patient review, expert consultation, and litigation. In that sense, the book is as much about the mechanics of discovering concealed knowledge as it is about the facts of contamination itself. Thirdly, PFAS and PFOA are presented as a modern public health problem, not an isolated industrial issue. Exposure is valuable because it explains that the DuPont case was never just about one chemical spill or one factory practice. PFOA belongs to the larger PFAS family of synthetic compounds used in many products and known for extreme persistence in the environment. The memoir emphasizes why this matters. Chemicals that do not readily break down can move through water systems, accumulate in waste streams, and remain a concern long after their original release. This gives the story a broader scientific and civic significance. Ballot's case becomes a lens for understanding how industrial chemistry can create problems that outlast the companies, products, and local disputes that first produced them. The book does not reduce the science to a textbook lesson, but it does make clear that the hidden danger of forever chemicals lies in their durability, their wide distribution, and the difficulty of assigning responsibility once contamination is widespread. Fourthly, the memoir shows how legal strategy, not just moral outrage, drives environmental accountability. One of the book's most important contributions is its explanation of how environmental accountability is actually pursued. Ballot was trained to work on behalf of corporations, so his decision to take on DuPont creates a useful perspective on legal process from the inside. The memoir highlights how environmental cases depend on investigation, document review, procedural persistence, class certification, and the slow accumulation of admissible evidence. This is not a story of instant justice. Instead, it shows how hard it is to make a hidden exposure visible in a court system that often demands proof from the people most affected. The book therefore raises an important structural issue: burdens of proof in contamination cases can disadvantage communities because the necessary evidence is controlled by the alleged polluter. By explaining the legal process in detail, Exposure makes clear that public health protection depends not only on laws being written, but on whether legal systems can actually force disclosure and action. Lastly, a memoir about endurance, professional risk, and the personal cost of doing the right thing. Although the book is rooted in litigation, it is also a memoir about the human cost of sustained advocacy. Bellot describes the emotional and professional demands of spending years on one case, often while confronting institutional resistance and uncertainty. That personal dimension distinguishes the book from a purely journalistic exposé. The reader sees how prolonged environmental work can affect a lawyer's career path, family life, and sense of responsibility. This matters because it frames accountability as an ongoing commitment rather than a single heroic act. The memoir suggests that major legal change often depends on people willing to continue long after public attention fades. At the same time, the book avoids presenting Bellot as a lone savior. His work is tied to affected residents, scientific analysis, litigation teams, and public reporting. The result is a grounded portrait of endurance, where persistence is not glamorous, but essential to revealing the truth and pushing institutions to respond. In conclusion, Exposure should be read by anyone interested in environmental law, public health, corporate ethics, investigative nonfiction, or the PFAS contamination crisis. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand how a complex legal case develops from a local complaint into a much larger exposure problem with national implications. The book offers both practical and intellectual value. It explains how evidence is built, why regulatory systems can lag behind science, and how persistence can force hidden information into the public record, compared with many books in the legal drama or true crime category. It stands out because the conflict is not a finished historical episode, but part of an ongoing environmental problem that still affects drinking water and consumer products. It is also more methodical than sensational, which gives it credibility. Readers looking for a clear account of how contamination cases are fought and why they matter beyond one courtroom will find this memoir unusually informative and consequential. If you would like to support Robert Bellot, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.